Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Psalms 122 and 123. Psalm 122 and verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God, a song of degrees of David. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy gates. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, Peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Psalm 123, a song of degrees. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So in 122 and 123 both, we want to remind ourselves that these are songs of degrees. We understand that to mean that these were songs specifically collated and written for the pilgrims that traveled up to Jerusalem three times in the year. These were the songs of going up, the songs of the goings up of the children of Israel to Jerusalem. I want us to remember, just for a moment, the temporal difficulty that the children of Israel would have had those three times in the year to going up to Jerusalem. As we look at the history of it, we recognize that it was several days' journey for many of them on foot as they traveled with certain things. The Lord was very kind to them, in that he told them, if the way is too far for you, you don't need to bring your own lamb for the sacrifice for the Passover. Instead, take that lamb and sell him in the land of your district there, and take the money and bring it to Jerusalem, and then do with that as you feast before the Lord as it seems good to you. So the Lord did provide for them in the hardships that they had going up to Jerusalem three times in the year. But it was, nevertheless, a great temporal difficulty. One of the things that we struggle with, Presbyterians generally, in our broader meeting, in the meetings of our broader courts, some denominations struggle mightily with the attendance of their elders to such courts, because it is difficult. It's hard to get away two or three times in the year to meet in those places, and especially the smaller the denomination gets, the greater distance. It used to be, when the Presbyterian Church was one church back in the early 19th century, the 18th century, and then the early 19th century, presbyteries were set in bounds of travel for one day. So that, as the old saying goes, how do you know how far you need to travel for presbytery? You need to be able to leave the meeting and be home in time to milk the cows. That's essentially how it was set up, those districts, at least optimally. Sometimes they were not able to do that, and we know also in our history that there were times when, especially as the frontier was being expanded, there were unions of Congregational and Presbyterian churches and things like that, and we ended up with some declension because of it. So three times in the year then, these folks came up to Jerusalem. Sometimes they came as families and sometimes they didn't. There was a requirement for all the males to appear, and sometimes all of the family would come. We certainly know that was the practice of Joseph's family, the temporal earthly father of Jesus, because we know that Mary and Jesus and their family, their cousins and extended family, all traveled together to Jerusalem on that one Passover where they lost Jesus, and they went they traveled 2 days home and so on. And, of course, where were you? Well, you should have known I'd be with my father's business. Anyway, so all of that. And then with all of that temporal difficulty, we understand the voice of the psalmist here. This is David. I think David speaks for many when he says, "I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem." Let's hear the excitement in that phrase. Our feet get to stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. And then the greatness of Jerusalem, the beauty of Jerusalem, the way it's built, the way it's compacted together, the way it is constructed, not just constructed, but the way, indeed, the Lord has commanded it to be built. And let's not understand for Jerusalem here in these days of the New Testament, Jerusalem, the city that is in Palestine today. Let us understand that as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The tribes go up. They go up to... And what do they go up to do? First of all, they go up unto the testimony of Israel. That is, they go up to hear the word of God. There were things that took place in Jerusalem that did not take place anywhere else. So they had the highest form of the preaching of the word there in Jerusalem those three times in the year. Not that they didn't have it in their own tribes, they did. The Lord spread the Levites out throughout all the tribes of Israel and commanded a holy convocation in all their districts every Sabbath day in Leviticus 23:3. But there was something special, something greater that went on at Jerusalem. They went up to the testimony of Israel. They went up also to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Specifically, the place where the Lord in those days had proclaimed to set his name, to reveal himself there. And so they went up to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Notice also that there are thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Of course, it's the thrones of the house of the greater David. And so they went up for the cause of order and discipline as well. When we say church discipline, everybody gets a negative connotation. We shouldn't, really, because church discipline has also involved in it the order of a church, right? The cadence of the church, if you will. All of that is included here. So three things that the tribes went up to partake of: the blessings of the word of God, the preaching of it, the blessings of the praises of God to give thanks to his name, and the blessings of the order of the Lord. And I hope you hear in that the three marks of the church: the proper preaching of the gospel, the worship of God, including the sacraments and their administration, without admixture of error, the doctrines and commandments of men. And then thirdly, also, we have the proper order and discipline of the church. And our Reformed fathers often saw those three things brought together in Scripture and codified it then in our great confessions of faith, most explicitly, I would say, in the Belgic Confession of Faith, which is one of the three forms of unity still confessed by the Reformed churches today. All right, so then the duty of the people of God: pray. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And then notice the promise, the reward promised. They shall prosper that love thee. Not prosper materially, not prosper in this world. They shall prosper in that their love for Jerusalem draws them to her, and all of the spiritual benefits of Jerusalem. So then, the benediction of Jerusalem: peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. And when we pray that prayer and give that blessing to the church today, what we mean by that is that the Lord would beautify the church with purity of doctrine. That He would beautify the church with a purity of worship. That He would beautify the church with a purity of order. A cadence, a discipline that belongs to the people of God. For my brethren and companions' sakes. And so now we move to the example that we will be and the love that we have for others and our responsibility to them. I will say, peace within thee. Peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. And so we seek one another's good in our going up to the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 122. And by the way, I neglected to say that this is a Davidic psalm. I think I in passing mentioned it. Remember what we learned last week in our introduction to these psalms. We learned that there are seven, a centerpiece, and then seven. And in the seven, there are two Davidic psalms and five unnamed psalms, five orphan psalms. And then in the second seven, there are two Davidic psalms and five orphan psalms. In the first seven, the word or the title Jehovah or Yehovah is mentioned 24 times. In the second set, the same thing. No, I'm sorry, it's 12 and 12. Same thing, 24 times total. And there is an obvious then literary symmetry between these 15 psalms rising up to the culmination in 127. And when we get there and we say, unless the Lord builds the house, then we understand what house He's talking about. Right? Okay, so now we move on to 123. A Song of Degrees, one of those orphan psalms. The psalmist here confesses, if we were just to put a title over this psalm, we would say that the psalmist confesses his utter dependence upon the Lord. His utter dependence upon the Lord. He says, I lift up my eyes unto thee. Okay, well, that could be in praise, that could be in worship, that could be for instruction. In what sense, Mr. Psalmist, do you lift up your eyes to the Lord? I lift up my eyes unto thee, like a servant looks to his master, and like a handmaiden looks to her mistress. In that sense, I lift up my eyes. I'm confessing that I am completely dependent, completely beholden upon thy rule, thine own reign, the sovereignty of God as a particular servant of His. I'm completely dependent upon that. And so as the eyes of a handmaiden watch her mistress's hands when she's going to bring out those blessings, so my eyes behold the Lord when, and I'm looking for those benefits. And not only that, but those benefits are so important to me that I will wait long before I receive them. That's Psalm 123. Pastor Riddell, I've been doing this and doing this and doing this and doing this and I haven't received the blessing. Wait a while. Follow the counsel of Psalm 123. Hear what the psalmist says there when he says, I will wait until I get the blessing. Jacob wrestled all night with the Lord, and the Lord then said, I'm leaving. And he said, no, you're not. Not until I get the blessing. I'll keep wrestling and striving, and I will not release you until you bless me. And so, notice he says, behold, as the eyes of servants look into the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us. Not, I will go along for a while and then I'll wear out. Not, I will go along for a while and I'll stop hoping. No, the mark of faith in Christ, the mark of saving faith, is that we continue, we persevere in faith until we receive those blessings. If you've ever read any of the works on difficulty, affliction by the Puritans, Lifting Up for the Downcast by Bridge, Spiritual Depression by Schwerdingeis, one of the Notre Dame men, or any of those that speak to afflictions in the Christian life. They tell you to a man this particular principle. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Continue. Persevere in faith. The Lord will bless. The Apostle Paul says it twice in his letters, once to the Galatians and once to the Thessalonians. He says, in due time you will reap. Be not weary in well-doing. In due time you shall reap, if ye faint not. What does the psalmist say here? Our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us. Then the cry for mercy. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. Notice it's doubled for that emphatic effect. What do we do while we're waiting for that mercy? That's right. We cry out for it. We cry out for it emphatically. Over and again. This is not vain repetition. This is the patience of the saints. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. And then verse 4, I thought was interesting as an epilogue to 123, especially as it regards this psalm as a song of degrees, a song of going up to Jerusalem. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. They're not going up. They're at ease. They've said, it's too hard to go to Jerusalem three times in the year. In fact, they've scorned us for doing so. Our soul is put to contempt. But notice what he says. We continue. We continue in faith. We continue until the Lord give mercy. So there is the patience of the saints. All right, well, that's Psalms 122 and 3. Let's stand.